Hi friends, I'm here, Venkat Iyer, again to speak to you about Chapter 2, Job Analysis. It's a very complex and a very detailed subject which needs to be discussed well. We are all attending some jobs or the other. We do some work in organizations and there's a job. You are the person who's doing the job, you're a job holder. There are two parts to a job completion, the job proper and the job holder. I'm the job holder who is now giving you the video lecture. The job is getting the video lecture done. So now what is this chapter covering? This chapter is covering how is the job defined. The job needs to be defined, what has to be done. And the definition should be so clear that anybody who takes up that sheet of paper should be in a position to know what is expected from him or her when they are allocated the job. This is a simple worded statement that needs to be created. Now, how do we create this simple worded statement? That's what job analysis chapter is covering. So let's get on with the objectives. After studying this chapter, you should be able to understand nature and importance of job analysis, process of job analysis in an organization, different methods used in collecting job related data, nature of job design and factors that affect job design. The structure will be flowing as follows. Nature and importance of job analysis covered under 2.1. Process of job analysis 2.2. Different methods of collection of job data 2.3. Under 2.4 we'll be covering problems faced in job analysis. Under 2.5, nature and importance of job design. Under 2.6, factors affecting job design, and we'll be concluding with the summary as usual. So we take the first slide, 2.1, nature and importance of job analysis. Job analysis refers to the process of collecting information about a job. It involves collection of information that includes knowledge, skills, and ability an employee possesses to perform a job effectively. Three things are important, popularly called as KSA, knowledge, skill and ability. Now what is a knowledge? It's a information, it's about something that you know, that you learn, what we call it as a gyan. This knowledge is put into practice repeatedly and then you develop a skill. The skill gives you the ability to perform a certain task with a certain efficiency. So normally when we are talking about development of a person, we talk about knowledge, skills and ability, right? So job analysis gives you information that is very important for knowledge, skills and ability that an employee needs to take up. Depending upon the type of job profile he is handling, we need to know what sort of knowledge he needs to possess, what skills he needs to develop, and what abilities he has to have. Job-related data is useful in human resource planning, hiring and training of employees, in deciding the compensation, and in the performance appraisal. In all the related areas of human resources management department, this is very important because that is a starting point of knowing who is going to do what. A job is defined by the job specification. A job is designed by what is being done at the particular position in the organization structure. Now, if that is not properly designed, if that is not properly analyzed, then we have a whole lot of problem in HR planning, in hiring and training of employees, deciding the compensation and in performance appraisal. So that is a starting point of the other processes. Taking it further, what is HRP? In human resources planning, it determines as to how many and what kind of personnel will be needed in the future. Now, I need to know, it's a future-oriented type of a process in which I need to know how many people I need, at what point of time and at what level, doing what job. Doing what job, I'm emphasizing on doing what job. That means I've got to know whom to hire with what job skills. So for that, HR, human resources planning, the feedstock the important starting point is the job specification, which is an outcome of the job analysis. Next comes to recruitment selection. The objective of hiring of employees is to match the right person with the right job. So unless and until I know what's the right job, how can I get the right person? For the objective to be achieved, the job analysis needs to be done. A human resource manager needs to have an understanding of the types of skills required for the different types of jobs so that he can look at the correct sources while recruiting. So he has to know that this type of job needs these type of skills. Ideally, I would like to have an HR person who has worked in that particular situation because he knows exactly what he wants. Ideally. But that's not always possible. Right? Training and development. This, again, in this process, if I have to train and develop people, I need to know, I have to train and develop into what? In the training and development chapter, I spoke about how training is different from development. In training, we focus on the job proper. In development, we focus on the person, the job holder. In both cases, I'm upgrading them from a skill level 1 to a skill level higher 2. So unless I know what is a job, how will I give the requisite skills required for the job? How will I upgrade in that area? If the job is one of a coder for an IT company at an entry level, and if the coder has to get promoted to a team leader, then I need to know what is coding all about in terms of job understanding. Only then I can promote him to that. I can't take him into some other area. So job analysis helps a human resource manager to know about the recruitment of knowledge skills to perform a job. Training and development programs are designed on the basis of job requirements. Next, we come to remuneration or compensation. Job analysis helps to determine the relative worth of each job for the purpose of establishing salary and wage structure. In the list of various jobs which people are doing, there are various verticals, functional verticals like marketing, HR, production, etc., 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 verticals. In each vertical, there are different hierarchical levels. HOD, then comes a deputy manager, etc., etc., down the line, and above him also. So all this, it's a matrix of verticals and horizontals put together. Now, what do you mean by worth of a job? Worth of a job means certain jobs are more crucial than others. All jobs are equal in their contribution to the company. But certain jobs, as you grow higher in the organization, your worth of the job that you're doing is higher because you're handling more responsible functions. And more importantly, at a senior level, you handle more of intangibles rather than tangibles. Now, what do I mean by this? You're handling people and emotions, which can't be measured. Your effectiveness when it comes to performance appraisal is done on how you did what you did based on somebody's perception. So it becomes very tricky. When something becomes tricky and you have to deliver, the worth is always high. That's why the relative worth of each job is different. Why do we have to pay more to the seniors? Because the seniors are handling more functions. They are having more people with them. Their responsibilities are very high compared to the juniors. This rationale has to be understood. Many times people think that I'm working like a donkey from 9 to 5. I'm literally sweating it out. I'm getting paid less. That person is sitting in an AC room. He's hardly doing anything. 2 hours he's working. Rest of the time he's having meetings. He does nothing. Nobody pauses to know that that person is doing a job which is of a higher worth. I'm giving an example how one should not misconstrue that people who work with their hands, who are only doing labor, are the only people who work. There is also intellectual work. There is also conceptual work. Now, those things are having a higher worth. Right? Next, we go to performance appraisal. In a performance appraisal, it is an assessment of the actual performance of the employee against certain expectations or objectives laid down for him. The employee says that this particular year, coming year, I'll be doing this performance. And then at the end of the year, there is a stock taking done. How well he has done? Has he gone in a lead or is he lagging? So this assessment that is done at the end of the year, the frame of reference is a job that the person is handling, obviously. So job analysis helps to fix the standards of performance against which the individual employee's actual performance is assessed. Again, here again, the job analysis is a very important input parameter. Now we come to safety and health. Job analysis also helps in uncovering, in exposing, in making us know and identifying hazardous conditions and unhealthy environmental factors like heat, noise, fumes, and dust, so that corrective actions can be taken to minimize and avoid the possibility of human injury. Certain jobs, like in the factories or in certain types of logistics centers where they're transporting chemicals, hazardous chemicals, for example, or explosive chemicals. Now, those could be a job which somebody has to do. Now, we have to define the job and in which we have to analyze the job to know that these conditions has a certain hazardous condition in it. There is something which is hazardous, and we must be able to identify that. And accordingly, we have to make our own type of a safety measures in that job. It's a must in that job. In certain jobs, you may not have to wear a mask. I'm not talking about the mask of the COVID time. You may not have to wear a mask in an office when you're sitting. But you have to wear a mask when you're in a chemical plant, because that place will have some toxic fumes. It's a must. So in that job analysis, that is a part of the job, we have to wear a mask. In a typical engineering factory, for example, when you go, people have to wear helmets. It's a must when you're walking along the factory in the production center. Now, if you don't wear it, it is supposed to be not okay. So as a job function, every day when you come, you have to ensure that you wear your helmet and then walk in the aisles of the factory. So this is again an important input. So when I know my job, when the job analysis is properly done, and I know that this job has got certain element of, you know, risk or something in terms of heat, noise, fumes, etc., then I need to give that particular job design a certain type of a approach, wherein this has to become a must for people to do when they're in the job. Okay. Now we come to the process of job analysis like a flow diagram. Initially, we make a strategic choice. Then we gather information. What are we making strategic choice about? What is it that we need to do? What are the jobs that needs to be done by this company, which will make the company grow and develop its business effectively? So how do I segregate the various functions? That's a strategic choice I need to do. It's a long-term thing. Next comes gather information. I've got to gather information about what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, who should do it. A lot of qualitative and quantitative information. Then we process the information. Having collected the information, we process it. So we take the ones which are with us, which we need, and the ones which we don't need, we keep it on the side. Then we arrive at job description. And finally, we come to job specification. So let's get along and see how it works. These are the five stages put one below the other in the slide. Strategic choices, gather information, process information, job description, and job specification. So what are the strategic choices? Employee involvement. What should be the level of employee involvement? At certain types of jobs, employee involvement is very high because he is dealing with a customer or he is dealing with a very critical machine. In certain other cases, the employee involvement may not be very high. So at the strategic level, the planning level, you need to decide what should be the level of employee involvement. Some parameters are given here. There are more, just to give you a trigger to make you think. Level of analysis. To what level the person has to have an analytical type of a brain? There are certain functions which require a lot of technical analysis. They require a lot of, you know, detailing. They have to take information, collate them, sift them. In certain other jobs, it's basically operational job. Repetitive in nature, not much of analysis. It's like taking something from here and keeping it there. Timing and framing of the analysis. Timing and frequency of the analysis. So how frequently do I have to analyze the jobs? How frequently do I have to make the jobs modified? When do I do it? That covers under this. Orientation of job analysis. The job analysis has to get itself into a certain type of an orientation required for the particular function. This is at a planning level we do this. How much of employee involvement? What should be the level of analysis of the job? Should be high or low? Timing and frequency of analysis, orientation of job analysis, source of the job data. Where do I get the job data from? Am I getting it from competitors? Am I getting from public sources? Am I getting internally? Or do I have a consultant to help me out? How authentic it is? How reliable it is? These are the things that are covered under this. Then we gather information, type of data to be collected, methods for collecting, who should collect, etc. Do I go for primary data by talking to people? Do I go for primary and secondary data, which is about published data? Do I do some group surveys? Do I talk to competitors from the same industry? This is something which you need to first fix. Trained job analysts, supervisors are used to collect data. People who have been used, who are trained into job analysis. Now, this is a profession by itself in HR. There are consultants who do job analysis. Now, those people are able to make out, this is a job that requires some work experience, by the way. So they come to know how to make this thing, how to put the data together. And who are the supervisors? The ones who are daily working with the function, they know exactly what is required from the job. A supervisor who is working on a machine, having about 4 workmen below him, he knows exactly what the job requires. He's experienced. And several other people who are having a hands-on experience on the job. One of the important inputs I would like to give you is a job analysis data input is given usually by an experienced person who knows the job in and out. It's not a theoretical job. It's something to do with experientially what do I need. On that basis, I make a sheet of paper and I put down what is required as a job specification. Type of method used for data collection depends on factors like purpose of the job analysis and status of the current job analysis process. So if the current job analysis process is not up to the mark, it's not yielding the results which I'm requiring, how will I know that? A job specification sheet is a final outcome. If the final outcome of the job analysis job specification is not serving the purpose, there is some ambiguity, something is missing, that means the current job analysis process is to be modified. So I may have to go for a new method. Now all this inputs, feedback is given to job analysts and they take care of it. For a person who's working within the company, he has to do this as a dedicated job in case the HR is big enough to have dedicated job analysts who can take care of this. In most cases, it is better to have an outsider who does a job analysis very objectively and in conjunction with the insider of the HR department and also the user departments. That works very well. Having collected the information, I need to process it. Once job information has been collected, it is processed so that it can be useful to various personal functions. I've got a host of information with me. I must learn to process and put them in a proper order and then put them into job related data so that the job description and the specification becomes easier to mold. Now we come to job description. In a job analysis, what am I doing? I am taking all the data from everywhere, what needs to be done in a job. Let's take one job. I am right now giving you a video lecture. So this video lecture is a job that needs to be done. We have decided that we need to have a video lecture for the subject. So the job has to be done. How do we do it? What should be done? Who should do it? All that is covered under job analysis. All the data is collected. And after collecting the data, we decide all the steps which I just explained. What is to be used, how to go about doing it, what's the type of book that has been written, and who is the audience who is going to read it. On the basis of that, a certain written statement showing the job title, tasks, duties and responsibilities is created. A written statement is created. The person who is going to be doing this video lecture should be A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, in line with whatever job analysis we have done so far. So we extract from there a simple worded statement which says that whoever is going to deliver this lecture has to deliver this. Delivering the lecture is done by the job holder, that's me. But what is being delivered is the topic, the subject, that is a job. So written statement showing job title, tasks, duties and responsibilities involved in the job. It also prescribes the working conditions, hazards, stress and relationship with other jobs. It tells us in this particular job profile, which I'm talking about mine, where should I do it? I should do it in a quiet room. I should do it in a room which is comfortably air-conditioned, which has got good lighting. A very good colleague of mine at the back of the camera who's maneuvering so well. It's an important thing. Otherwise, this whole video lecture will be going for a toss. Now, what is the advantage of a job description? It assigning work to subordinates, recruitment and selection procedures, manpower planning, etc. All these things are the advantages of job description. Whatever we talked about in job analysis, the job description is an outcome of the job analysis. Hence, job description actually assists all these processes which we spoke about earlier. So, job description in short is a written statement which is written in a very easy to understand form so that anybody who's asked to do the job, he knows what is to be done by reading it and he gets on with it. And in that, the conditions of what is to be done is also given. Under what conditions? Where do we do it? Do I do it in a noisy classroom? No way. So I have to do it in a very plush 5-star hotel? Not necessary. I have to do it in a place which has got an ambience like where I am right now, and that's enough. So there's a job description. Now comes job specification. Slightly different. Those four bullet points I'll explain in one simple word. When the job description is about the job, what needs to be done? WHAT, what is job description? Who needs to do it? The job holder. What sort of a background does he come from? What should be his qualifications? What should be his skills and competencies? That is made available. So the job holder and his characteristics, the job, what needs to be done, the what and the who, when they come together, we get what is called as a job specification sheet. So the job specification summarizes the human characteristics needed for satisfactory job completion. It tries to describe the key qualifications someone needs to perform the job successfully. Don't mistake qualifications for a degree. It's about the capability, skills, etc. It spells out the important attributes of a person in terms of education, experience, skills, knowledge, and abilities to perform a particular job. The human element is matched, is docked, is brought together with the job description. When the human element and the job description come together, we get a job specification. The job specification is a logical outgrowth of a job description. For each job description, it is desirable to have a job specification, one-on-one. Right? Thank you.